As you come, you will receive that that the Holy Spirit would have you to receive today, and that we would all be filled by the wonderful love and grace of God Himself. If that season, the season when Harry Carey says it might be, it could be, it is a home run. The time when excitement of baseball is here again. And it'll not be very long that the 1989 season will come to a climax with World Series. Teams working hard, using their strategies, playing the best game that they're able to play, that they might win the pennant this year. I want you to look ahead just a little bit and suppose, if you might. Suppose that it is the bottom of the first inning. Three batters have already got on base and bases are loaded. The next batter steps to the plate. And he whammed one. And he takes a height and goes out and hits the center field wall and bounces off. The runners begin to run and easily the man on third scores. It is well possible, but the man on second may score also and maybe two more runs score. But as they approach third place, the coach holds them up. The man on third now is kind of wondering what happened. He says to the coach, "What happened? Why didn't you send me in? Why didn't you hold me up?" And the coach says these words to him, "No sweat. We only need one run to be in the lead." How foolish that is. For you and I today know that that might be possible, but not probable that that will happen. One run lead in the first inning does not secure a victory. And I guarantee you that whoever plays for the pennant will try to get as many runs as they can and as fast as they can in any given image. Now, if we know any baseball at all, and I don't know too much about it, but I know as sure as I stand here today that that would be one of the most foolish things for any coach on third base to do is hold up the runners when he knows that there's a possibility of two more runs that can be scored. Yeah, there's something about that, coach. He was satisfied with the least amount of runs ahead. And we would say to him, "Oh, how foolish that thou art." But may I say to us today that many of us stand even today in a very similar circumstances. We have a God that is able to continuously bless us. And we have become so satisfied with the past blessings that we're not too anxious to receive any more. God has a store out of blessings, and He says to us, "I have so many blessings that when I pour them out on you, you will not be able to consume them, and you will not be able to retain them." We become self-satisfied. In fact, Jesus uses, or Dr. Luke uses, a little bit of mathematics here. He relates percentage-wise 1 in 10. That's not very good odds. And we stand here, 1 out of 10, really failing to receive all the blessings that God has to give because we're self-satisfied with what we have. I'm not greedy, folks, but I want to say something today and pray you'll not be judgmental. I want every blessing today that God has to give. And before that God can give it, I must be in His presence waiting for God to give that blessing. Last look at the blessing. Maybe we pass them. In fact, I did not really understand a lot of things about this text until we had went through some seminary extension and got a little wiser on the Word of God. But today I want to point out some things concerning the Scripture that we read about 10 lepers. The first blessing that comes upon these men, the Bible says, in verse 14, that there was a cleansing. They saw that they were cleansed. 10 men. All lepers. In fact, to society, they were less than men. Because they had been ostracized out of society. They had been taken out of the midst of human beings. Out of the midst of the town. Out of the midst of their daily lives. And they were put away because they were hazardous to those they come in contact with. And we see these 10 men as they come realizing who they are and what they are, for the Bible says that they stood far off from Jesus. And they begin to raise their voices. 10 lepers standing together, raising their voices, not in anger, but raising their voices with a plea that God would have mercy and touch their bodies and heal them. Well, you know, I thought of that today, and I thought of the choir saying praises to God as we band together here today to raise our voices unto the Lord and sing praises to God. What a glorified moment that is in the presence of God. This morning, and pray you'll love me, but this morning I was in the library this morning, and Brother Wilton started leading singing, and I must say, I couldn't hear anybody else singing but Brother Wilton. A time when voices should be raised and praising God, and it seems like there's no power to bring that vocal cord out and vibrate those words in praising and glorifying God. But here was only 10 men that stood afar off, and Jesus heard them as they pleaded and begged that Jesus of Nazareth would have mercy upon them because they wanted something from Him. I want something from Him today. When I leave this building, I want to leave with a new life of blessing, some new blessings that God has to give, some new vigoration, some new vitality that comes from being in the presence of God's family and in the presence of God Himself. I want to leave here rejoicing in the presence of God today because He's been here and He's doing something for us today. Can I get an amen? And so, out of these 10, do you remember how many that Jesus decided to help? All 10. 100%. That's good odds. He was willing to help every one of them as they stood far off, raising their voices and pleading with God. And when they pleaded with Him, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy upon us. Let's look at what He said. He didn't have to approach them where they stood. He simply said unto them, go show thyself unto the priest. There was a priest that clarified that you were unfit to live in society. And it must be the priest that gives you a clean bill of health and says to you, now you're well and you're able to go mingle with society, your family, and the merchants that come in. You're healed of your leprosy. But you know, folks, sometimes somebody said, seeing is believing. They heard the voice of Jesus as it said to them, go show yourself to the priest. But why should they go? They wasn't that dumb. They wasn't blind. They could look at their body and see that they still had leprosy. Why go to the priest? They knew that he would say, you're unclean. They knew they would. But I want to tell you something. When Jesus speaks to us, before you can show, you've got to go. And that's why Jesus says to us to go. If Jesus says to you, go wash in the pool of Siloam. If Jesus says to you, go dip yourself 7 times in the river Jordan. If Jesus tells you to walk around the walls of Jericho and they'll fall, regardless of what you think, regardless of what you believe, regardless of what you see, do it because Jesus said so. Amen. He said to them, go show thyself unto the priest. And the priest will declare that you are able once again to become citizens in a society. Yes, it appeared. It appeared as they looked at their bodies. that an initial contact with Jesus had done nothing for them. Their bodies were still as white as they ever were. The leprosy they had looked just as horrible as it ever had. But I want to say something to me and to you today. Jesus had already told them what to do, and they could have stood there all day long and continued to beg for mercy, and I tell you, nothing would have happened. Before anything can happen, we must be obedient to the will of God. And that is how come today that many, many have never been blessed. Many go to the house of God and leave just as empty as they went. Many go to the house of God just because it's a day called the Lord's Day. It's Sunday. And they leave not being blessed. They leave not being blessed because we fail to be obedient to the voice of God as it tells us what to do in the services of God. Till we are obedient to do what He says, nothing will ever happen to us. But the Bible says that they went. They began to go toward the priest. Believe me, I wasn't there that day. But I can almost see them. Not in too big of a hurry to get to the priest. Because with every step they took, they continued to look at their body. And it was still white with leprosy. But lo and behold, as they went on their way, possibly one of them said, "Look! Look! It's gone! I don't have leprosy no more! I'm clean! I'm healed!" And the others begin to look. And now, going slow toward the priest, they see they're healed, and their mind goes to them again, living and dwelling and walking and talking and working in society. They begin to run. They begin to run to the priest to hear his announcement to them that you're clean. All except one. The one in ten factor. All except one. And when this one saw that he was clean, the Bible said he stopped. And he turned around. And he headed back to where Jesus was. Some folks need to stop. We need to turn around from where we are. And we need to go back to where Jesus is. Whatever it was, whatever it is that caused us to be out of His presence, we need to make it about faith and go back to where Jesus waits for us. The Bible said that He went back. And he threw himself at the feet of Jesus and began to thank Him. Now, beloved, that's something to be thankful for. That the Jesus of Nazareth cleansed these people, and they were thankful and they were happy. That is, part of it's true. I know they were all filled with joy and happy. But I'm not sure how thankful that they were because only one returned to give thanks. The other nine were satisfied that their body wasn't white anymore. Dr. Luke, I'm sure he knew some Greek words. And I'm sure how he knew how to use them in medical profession. But the word cleanse here that Dr. Luke talked about is outwardly healing. The outward imperfections were invisible. They were gone. And their skin had turned to the normal skin of any human being. And they were cleansed outside. And they became satisfied. You know what, folks? Sometimes we come to the house of God and God really blesses us. And we're glad it happened. But very few times do we ever take time to remain just a little while longer to thank God for what He's done. We're so busy to get back out into society that were willing to settle with any blessing, regardless if Jesus has a thousand more to give us, we're satisfied. We leave with the one. And that's what the nine did. Well, you see, that's all they wanted. They didn't care about anything else. They just wanted their leprosy to be gone. And praise God, it was gone. Yes, he runs. The Bible said he runs toward Jesus. And as he's running with a loud voice, not when he gets there, but on his way there as he runs with a loud voice, you see, he didn't mind his loud voice when the other nine were there, and they were hollering at the top of their lungs, "Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on us!" I'll tell you something else. When his body got cleansed, he wasn't bashful either. So the Bible says with a loud voice, as he runs to Jesus, he praises God. I've got a big mouth, and you folks know it, but I'll tell you, I'm glad I have. And that Jesus doesn't say to me sometimes, "Settle down, preacher, quiet down now, I'm not dead." I'm glad that he gives each of us a voice that we can raise it and praise God, if it be in word, if it be in prayer, if it be in song, if it be in thanksgiving, whatever it is, that we may raise our voices together or as individuals and glorify God for what he has done to us. Verse 15 says, he run and he glorified God as he runs. Yeah. I want you to notice something about Jesus that maybe we've overlooked. Did you notice that when he got back, Jesus was still there? Did you ever think what he's doing there? I believe I know. I believe he's waiting for their return to give thanks. Because he says, "Didn't I cleanse him? Where are the other nine? What happened to them? Why aren't they here thanking me for cleansing them? Why aren't they here raising their voices and glorifying God for their cleansing?" I want to say something today to you and I. Sometimes we think we do the pastor and the church a great favor when we come here. I'll tell you, the one that really gets the favor done to him is you. Because when we come together and raise our voice to glorify God, he said he's in our midst. And I'll tell you, that is truly joy unspeakable and full of glory. He waited there. And when this man comes running back and hollering, he sees Jesus standing where that he was when he first told him to go and show himself to the priest. But I believe Jesus is there for something else too. I believe that Jesus is there to bless him again. You should never come into the house of God and leave without being blessed. And if you come to the house of God and you begin to leave and you feel you haven't been blessed, I say to you, you need to come to the altar of God, for my God is a perfect God. There's nothing wrong with my God. And if there's any imperfection, any lack of blessing, it's our fault. When this man went back to find Jesus, he didn't have to search. Jesus was standing right there waiting for him. I say to us today, beloved, if and when we need and if and when we want blessing, Jesus Christ is there to bless us. And oh, how he does it, and I'm so glad. But Dr. Luke uses another word in verse 15. He uses the word heal. And when one of them saw that he was healed. Now this word takes on a little different meaning. It means a curing. A complete physical healing. Not only visibly, but invisibly. This man realized what the other nine did not realize, that not only was his spotted leprosy gone, but his body was healed also. Isn't it something that God even when you don't have, always does far above what we're able to ask. The Bible uses the word far exceedingly. You ask God for a penny, He gives you that. You ask Him for a morsel, He gives you a whole slice of bread. You ask God for a small blessing, He blesses us abundantly. And oh, how we need to be thankful. A complete physical healing in this man's life. He knew something that within him to be thankful for. To go thank Jesus for not only what he had asked for, but beyond what he had asked for. Now, I was satisfied, and I've said this so many times, I was satisfied that God had saved me. He didn't have to call me to preach the gospel, but he did. You see, I was the most unlikely suspect to preach the gospel, and I knew that more than anybody else in this world. And you be quiet, because your grandma probably told a bunch of stuff. But you see, when I asked God to save me, when I asked God to have mercy, not only did He cleanse my heart, but He blessed me with something far bigger than I ever thought He'd bless me with. He said to me one day out of the clear blue sky, I want you to preach my gospel. And I thank God that after some long time, I surrendered to do just that. You see, there was something that happened to these 10 men. Once they had received the cleansing, the 9 began to run away from Jesus, satisfied with a one-run lead. But this one began to run toward Jesus. For all that Jesus had to offer him, he was willing to receive that day. Yes? Where are the 9? Where are the 9? And I believe that possibly those words are on the Master's lips this very day in 1989. I believe that maybe today he's saying, where are those that I initially blessed? I have more, where are they? And when we look at our church houses or the buildings where the church is housed, oh, couldn't we all ask that question today for the Lord? Where are all of those that he has saved? Have they become satisfied with salvation and never wanting to be blessed again? Where are they? They're surely not here. Where are the 9? I have more to give, I want to give, if they'll just come to receive. But there was more than that. Dr. Luke uses these words in verse 19 with the third blessing. Listen to the words. Rise and go. Thy faith hath made thee well. W-E-L-L. You have been made well. That word in Greek means preserved holy. It comes from the same root as our word salvation. When he said to this man, arise and go your well, he was saying to him, not only was the outside visibly healed, not only was the inside physically healed, but your soul has been spiritually healed. And that's the greatest healing that man, woman, boy, and girl can have today, is the healing of our souls. What did he say to him when he said, arise and go show yourself to the priest, you're made well? He said to him, go and rejoice because you have eternal life. Woo! I like that. Oh, the miraculous work that God does in our lives. Let's look at it for a moment. Cleansed. Outward healing. Healed, inward healing. Made well, spiritual healing. And I can say today with Dr. Luke concerning this man, with him all was well. He just went for a morsel. But I want to add just more to that slide, and God gave him a whole loaf. When he left Jesus that day, he left rejoicing, not only knowing that his leprosy had been gone. He had received something that the other nine I never read had ever received. He received eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 out of 10, that's not very good odds. But I want to say to us today, my friend, you just might be that 1 in 10 today who will receive the greatest blessings of God in your life. You just might be the one today that has received not only what you asked for, but more than you've asked for. You see, there's something about this Jesus whom they cried out to. It's easy for him, if it's his desire, to heal your physical body. But it's also easy for him to heal your spiritual body. But until we return to give thanks, he's unable to do anything. I like that. I can almost see it. On that old dusty road that day, when the Word of God says, but one, when he saw he was healed, stopped. I want to ask you a personal question. You don't have to answer me. I was sitting at a roadside yesterday. I looked in the mirror, two elderly ladies looking at my window. Little sign says, if you're too busy for Jesus, you're too busy. One of them said to the other, oh, how true that is. And as they walked by, one kind of peeked in the window and said, amen. Is our schedule such a schedule that we haven't got time to stop? We haven't got time to turn around. We haven't got time to thank Jesus. Then, friend, you're entirely too busy. I can see him almost stopping and in amazement turning around and looking and beginning to run in the direction of the one who had healed him. And he bows down and he begins to praise him. And Jesus, the merciful God that he is, says to him in all the love that he has, get up, rise, go back into society now. Your faith has made you well. Then he said something else. He said, none of those who should have returned, return. Only this one, what did he say? Stranger. Only this one stranger, a Samaritan. The most unlikely prospect this side of eternity. The stranger was the only one that returned to give thanks. Greater faith, he said, I have not seen Galilee. What base do you stand on today? Are you at third base? Wanting to get it home and make another run? Wanting to get as far ahead in the game as you can? Or are we all satisfied with just being saved? Jesus has a lot more to give today. I'd imagine he wants to give it to us, his children. Sister Melba, Sister Jennifer, Brother Wilson, come with a verse of song. You need to answer a question today, and so do I. Have I become so satisfied with what Jesus has already done for me that I feel there's nothing left to gain? Not true, not true. Trust me, try me, and prove me, say it all. When you do that, you see. If I roll the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you that you will not be able to consume, upon you. Filled up, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Say, Lord, I want those blessings today. Maybe you're here today, you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior. You have never said to Him and confessed, Lord, I'm a sinner. You'll never get saved until you confess that you're a sinner. I've never asked you to save my soul in the day I want to be saved. I want to know this Jesus that's able to heal not only visibly, physically, and spiritually. I want to know Him as my Savior. Maybe He is your Savior, but He's not the Lord of your life. Maybe you've been saved, but you're satisfied. You don't follow His steps every day in your life. And today you say, I need to follow this one. I need to follow this Jesus, for He is the one that will lead me in the paths of all truth. And I want to do that today. Maybe you're here, you're following Christ, but you've never followed Him in baptism. You've never become a member of any church. Why haven't you? Oh, I don't know. I'm waiting for this, and I'm waiting to see this. I'm trying to see how this is going to turn out. And one of these days, no, friend, whatever Jesus tells you to do, you need to do it now. So just let the Holy Spirit of God deal with us today. If He speaks to you to do something today, would you do it? Not for me in the church alone, but would you do it for God, and would you do it for yourself? As we stand and sing today, Brother Wilcox.
349.
Lord, have Thine own way. Can you say that today?